What's up, everybody? It's your boy Flash from AOWT Gaming, aka Malachi36. I'm here with It's the Nine Ball Corner Pocket. How are you doing today? It's the Nine Ball.
I'm doing okay.
Fantastical, fantastical. Happy Tuesday to you. Happy Black History Month. I also want to put it on over to my boy, Mil Dewey Kakarot. How are you doing?
For a second there, I thought you were just going to say Mil Dewey Krillin. I was like, wait a minute. I was like, I'm glad, kind of glad, because Krillin gets a really hot girl, and wife.
But and also he gets a daughter.
And a daughter, which is awesome. But also kind of sad because he just pretty much gets owned throughout the whole anime, but survives it. So I'm like, it's one of those 50-50 win-lose things. Like, he had to make the sacrifice to get the goods, you know? But I'm like, whatever.
You need to watch the beginning of Super, because they definitely power scale Krillin a bit inside Super to where it's just like,
and especially
the
championship tournament, Krillin held his own.
He held his own. He was probably
Krillin held his own.
Yes. I think I watched like three episodes and got completely distracted by something else. So I definitely need to go back and watch Super, because I've had people tell me it's really good.
Yeah,
so I definitely want to watch it. Because I'm curious about it, but it's just like, it's like I said, I watched three episodes and then got distracted by something else. So, but I still give Krillin deuce. You know, he's better than what's that guy?
Yamcha.
Name? Who?
Yamcha. Yeah. Who? Yeah. The meme.
Oh god, they make fun of him even on what is that? A bridge.
Yeah. They do.
They make fun of him on everything. He doesn't even have to be Dragon Ball related.
Like, he just gave up. He just gave up and became like a baseball player.
Like, it's stronger than I'm just like a very sad creature.
Like, oh no, Yamcha. Krillin, what? Too soon. I'm doing good. How about you, Malachi?
Fantastic. I'm doing fantastic. I'm doing beyond fantastic. And there's a couple reasons why. Not even video game related. And if you guys look at me, you guys can probably guess because of the colors that I'm wearing. This wasn't even on purpose, but Who Day Nation, we're going to the Super Bowl. We're against the Rams. They said we couldn't do it. I'm not going to lie. I didn't know if I would see it in my lifetime. I didn't know if I was going to. But I'm glad that we're here. Win or lose, I mean, Who Day for life.
They're in the Super Bowl, and they've earned it.
Crazy.
It's been 5 years. I've been hearing people, and you and one of our other, Barely Leave, who called it out on the chat, I think, about the year of the tiger and all.
That was Silent. Silent actually called that out.
Silent. Okay, Silent. Sorry. Yeah. I don't have this number marked in my thing.
There,
I
was like,
I don't remember. Mm-hmm. So, it's like, you know, we got the year of the tiger, you got the Bengals going into, you know, Super Bowl and all. So I'm like, I applaud them for it. And, you know, since they're going up against the Rams, look up some Greek cuisine, because they got some really good lamb recipes in there that I think the Bengals would love to have when they go to that bowl.
Let's go. I like it. I like it. We'll do it. Yeah, it's crazy to think about it.
Let's get, we're in Ohio. Let's get the Bengals a win.
Yeah, let's give them a little spice. You know what I mean? All that.
Give me them spices.
I've been watching a lot of animes. Been waiting for these video game fiascos about to happen right now. I got like 6 or 7 video games that I'm planning on picking up. Horizon Forbidden West is around the corner. We have Elden Ring around the corner. We have Sifu around the corner. We have Strangers of Paradise around the corner. We have GT7 that's going to be a state of play for tomorrow, which is inside of a list of things to talk about. It's just a great time to be a gamer and a great time to be a Bengals fan, and it's just awesome. Yes. So I say all that to say, welcome to All Things Gaming, Episode 5, Season 2. All around the board. Yes, if you're on Spotify. Yes, if you're on Anchor. Yes, if you're on YouTube. Yes, if you're on Twitch. We're all together. Episode 5. And you guys, if you guys saw the thumbnail, you guys would see that 2022 is already off to a absolutely insane start. We started off with Xbox acquiring Activision. Side note, full disclaimer, off stream, I could not say acquisition to save my life for some reason. I don't know what it was. But acquisition, Activision, it just was not working out for me. But we got it together. But back to the thing at hand. We had that had happened. Now, we have our story number one, which is a two-parter. And that is Sony acquiring Bungie. So, we're going to jump off. I'm going to read it both. And I want to give the ball to, other than 9-to-ball. It just makes sense to give the ball to 9-ball. This is in the name. You know what I mean?
You got to get the ball rolling.
Yeah, exactly. Got to keep the ball rolling. But I wanted to start off with you after I read this just to get your thoughts about it. And all about PlayStation is what I titled this. Eddie Mackick from GameSpot says this in their story. The video game industry continues to be shaken up with major deals. Sony is buying Halo creator and Destiny developer Bungie in the deal valued at $3.6 billion. GI Biz was the first to report the deal, which will make Bungie become independently subsidiary of Sony Interactive Entertainment. Sony officially confirmed the deal and the valuation in a press release, while more details have come to light, like how will Destiny still be published on multiple platforms going forward. PlayStation boss Herman Holtz said the deal, and this is a quote, "I'm absolutely thrilled to welcome Bungie to the PlayStation family." Holtz added, "Bungie create community-driven games with outstanding technology that are enormous fun to play. And I know everyone at PlayStation Studios would be excited about what we have to share and learn together." And then Logan Plant from IGN says this in their story about the same thing. PlayStation boss Jim Ryan says this is still in acquisition mode, I should say. PlayStation's boss Jim Ryan says we should expect more studio acquisitions in the future in the wake of today's news that Sony is buying Destiny developer Bungie for $3.6 billion. GameIndustry.biz Christopher Dring tweeted that Ryan said, quote, "We should expect more," end quote, when it comes to further PlayStation acquisitions. In the full GameIndustry.biz interview with Ryan and Bungie CEO Pete Parsons, which was published after Dring's tweet, Ryan said that Sony has, quote, many more moves to make, end quote. He also talked about Sony's ambition to grow its live services and grow beyond PlayStation's historic console heartland. I've been on record talking about increasing the size of PlayStation community and expanding beyond our historic console heartland. This can take many forms, Ryan said. We are starting to go multi-platform, you've seen that. And he's talking about PlayStation and PC. You've seen that. We have an aggressive roadmap with live services and the opportunity to work with and particularly learn from the brilliant and talented people from Bungie. That is going to be considerably accelerate the journey we find ourselves on. Parsons added that Bungie is working on more than just Destiny, and the studio sees its partnership as an opportunity to build. End quote. End story. So 9-ball, you hear this. The first one, Sony acquiring Bungie. Then the second one, they're saying, hey, there's more to come. My questions to you is, one, what does this mean to you as an individual gamer? What does this mean for the general public in your eyes? And then also, if they're acquiring more studios, what do you think is the most likely studio to be acquired next? And then that same question is going to be for you, Mildewy, right after he answers.
Well, that's simple. We're going to start backwards, actually. Probably the most acquired one is probably somebody. I actually watched a thing about that. They're talking about that a long time ago. To which everybody keeps saying the same two companies, either Square Enix or Capcom. Ooh, you're not going to pick up like companies like basically the only third company I may throw in there, maybe Konami or Kojima Studios, but I'm thinking probably Square Enix would probably be the easiest one. This move to me was kind of weird at first because for $3.7 billion, I mean, yeah, you talk about Microsoft, but Microsoft kind of made sense. Theirs was an opportunist. I feel like theirs was more of an opportunistic move, and I know they started talking about it, but the minute that giant, like I was when I was thinking about it, the minute a giant like Activision starts to fall, somebody's getting it before it hits the ground. It's too big of a company to let it just go.
Right.
There's too much powerful IP. I wouldn't be surprised if Sony was eyeing it too. It's just Microsoft struck first.
Pulled that trigger.
And struck harder. Yeah, and struck big. It's sort of like when Fox sold its, you know, it's all its stuff off. Actually, Disney was not the only one. Comcast went after them. It's just Disney put up the bigger amount of money.
Mm-hmm. Not the Benjamins.
Yeah. I feel like this, to me, when you think about it, it's more of a necessary move. In some ways, it benefits Microsoft because it could take the pressure off the FTC because now you can demonstrate that, yeah, they're competent enough and they are making moves and they are becoming a competitor. Mm-hmm. They needed, the one thing PlayStation needed was a shooter. PlayStation really doesn't have an accomplished shooter.
Currently. Because we had Killzone and we had Resistance.
Yeah, but they never really was like established. Like, if you talk about shooters, even back in the day, you talked about Halo.
Of course, certainly.
Halo was like the Gears. Master of shooting. Gears. They Call have Duty. Now Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is when you have that, like those are all Microsoft. You will want Battlefield, but I don't think EA is going to sell. I mean, to be honest, if they would pick up EA, that would be tremendous because EA has a ton of licenses that are sitting under their belt that EA doesn't even touch because EA has absorbed so many companies.
Pausing that you first and foremost, 1,000% correct. Yeah, I was about to say 1,000% correct, but pausing that, if either side, Microsoft or Sony, were to ever purchase and acquire EA, what does that mean for sports games? Are they going to be console exclusives?
It will be tricky because here's the problem. The console, the sports games are not just theirs. They are made, but they signed a license through the NFL.
Right.
Just like Star Wars is actually through Disney. I don't know if they could do that.
Well, here's the thing. They've been doing that because MLB The Show, before last year, was only on PlayStation. Last year is the first time it ever came to Game Pass, and then they're doing the same thing again for this year.
Well, so maybe.
Go ahead.
I don't know. Well, it's something. I don't really know how baseball works.
Yeah, I honestly care less. I just know that was actually a thing.
But football is a pretty big license.
Right.
Bungie.
That's America's sport.
Yeah. Bungie is an interesting company. I mean, like I said, it's a shooter. But when you look at Bungie as a whole, I was just watching a video about them coming home. And a lot of people were saying, basically, with Bungie, it probably was more Bungie doing the talking than Sony. Yeah, how you made... So. Bungie, when I listened to Bungie, when they left Activision, Bungie said they were never going to need for company ever again. Bungie said that himself. They never would go underneath, solely underneath company.
Bungie was under Activision?
Yeah.
I don't think I ever knew that, to be honest with you. I don't think I ever did.
That's why Destiny was on Battle.net.
I remember, now keep in mind, I didn't actually get a PC until a couple years ago with you guys, with your help.
Yeah, it's sort of ironic, but to be honest, that the only company that they pick up is the one that was ditched by both Microsoft and Activision.
Yeah, wow. It was January 10th, 2019 when announcements were made that Bungie was splitting from Activision.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. They would never go underneath a company ever again.
Interesting. That was literally just 3 years ago. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
that is crazy. That's not that long ago. We were at E3 before they had left. That is crazy. But yeah, continue.
Sony picking them up is interesting. I mean, as for I was thinking about end consumer and all that. I don't really know how that's going to run in the future with the two companies. I know with Microsoft they may, but I feel like for Sony this was more of a necessary move. I know they're going to be making more moves to get companies, because Microsoft is putting them in a spot to where they have to move forward. Microsoft is doing the right thing. This is what it was supposed to be about. They really need to check PlayStation, because PlayStation kind of gets caught in their ways. And Microsoft's really going beyond consoles. The new community that I'm looking at is basically, with COVID and all this going around, actually more or less favors Microsoft over PlayStation, because for starters, it's harder to get the computer parts. Secondly, you generally don't get a lot of money for console. Console sales most of the time either break even at most, but they generally lose money. Mm-hmm. Your money's going to come through your software sales.
Right.
And while Sony has pretty good premier first party titles, Microsoft is getting a variety of titles to really go, well, instead of just one for paying 60, you can pay 15 a month and get a whole library of games, which on paper actually sounds better. I'm glad that Sony's making moves, and like I said, to be honest, I think their future moves is probably, I still probably, if I had to pick one, it would probably be Square Enix would probably be the best move, and I would not be surprised if they ever said that they was picking them up. It's been rumored for years that they was going to go Sony, because to be honest, Sony and Square Enix basically work side by side.
It's very much similar to how it was Microsoft and Bungie back in the day. Like, even today, when you think of Bungie, you still think of Xbox.
Well, it was like that actually when they picked up Bethesda. Bethesda and Microsoft were basically kind of like neighbors in a lot of ways. That's why a lot of people, even though they dropped a lot of money, it wasn't too big of a surprise, because Bethesda was they was always over Microsoft's house, always visiting, and Daddy Gates seeing them every day, and they said, "Hey, you want to live here?" And he said, "Sure." $7 billion for a room. Okay, there you go. Now you got yourself a little room. But
yay!
It wasn't $7 billion for a room. It was a $7 billion allowance. That's what that was.
Pretty, yeah. You're right. $7 billion allowance. Yes, you're right on that one. But like I said, with this one, I feel more like it's a move, and it is sort of a response to that. Like I said, they can't. If Sony didn't do nothing, Microsoft wouldn't have got Bungie. Bungie, like I said, does not want to go underneath somebody. But I feel like, to be honest, that this was the response to them, them picking up Activision. I mean, I feel like with the whole Activision thing, I feel like that's amazing that Microsoft pulled the trigger on that one. Mm-hmm. But like I said, somebody was going to get it. And I feel like it was too big of an opportunity for them to pass by.
Okay.
I'm, this is this is going to be interesting to see how this turns out.
Oh, we're talking about this for years. I already know this is going to be in, especially until this actually closes. This is going to probably be one of the top stories of 2022 going inside 2023. But I do want to hear your thoughts there, Mel Dewey.
I mean, after, you know, when Microsoft first bought, you know, Bethesda, it doesn't surprise me that, you know, Sony was probably out there looking to see if anyone was going to pick them up. I mean, Nineball kind of says, kind of, Bungie was like, we're never going to work underneath anyone again, but I think they probably looked at Sony and was just like, you're probably the better one out of all of them. You know, especially if they had found out that, you know, maybe Microsoft was in talks with Activision after the whole split again. From there, you know, I definitely could see Bungie not wanting to go with Activision or anyone who's got Activision, probably. Mm-hmm. So that kind of doesn't surprise me. Other than that, I mean, it seems like this is going to be kind of the norm, unless, you know, Microsoft slows down and doesn't buy anymore. I feel like PlayStation and Microsoft are going to kind of get up in this game of let's pick up some people.
Can I cut it on that one real quick?
Fine, cut me off there, man. Ball.
I'm sorry. It's just
came out of the corner pocket and just wrecked my shot.
I'm sorry. It's just to be honest, I hope they don't. And this is more for Sony than Microsoft. Microsoft has too much money to play, basically to play with, and they're showing it with the massive purchases. But the only good thing is, I don't feel like they can, because the FTC is starting to kick in. Mm-hmm. I was reading about that online, and it was really, for the longest time, the FTC really didn't know much about games and really didn't do much about it.
They didn't care. They didn't know how much it's impacting our daily lives.
Yeah, until they started noticing it. Now they finally, until, you know, Bethesda, $7.8 billion, huh?
There's money in this. Is it taxable?
To be honest, somebody said this still going after something about Instagram, something that happened 10 years ago. The FTC's normally real far behind on things. Yeah, and, but the $70 billion deal, you just can't overlook that. You can't go.
And that's a price tag. You definitely are being like, excuse you?
Yeah, anything. I think it's like anything over 500 or 500, 600 million or something like that. They have to make sure it's legit. So they're going to look at Bungie's too. But I feel like they're going to both go through.
Mm. Oh, almost guaranteed. Yeah. I think... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. No, I was going to kind of agree with you there. It's like, you know, I don't want them to get into a war with them. But I think more or less they're going to try and find companies that they themselves could probably snatch up that Microsoft may not be looking at too, kind of like build their own repertoire as well, not like going to war of like a bidding war with Daddy Gates, because I don't think they can, because like with this purchase of Activision, I'm pretty sure, and I haven't confirmed this, guys, but I'm pretty sure Sony was kind of looking at them too, but you know, Microsoft just threw in that big $70 billion and they're just like, no.
That's about how much the entire they said the active women. Oh god, the acquired requisition of Sony is about $50 billion. This is how much the properties they say is about worth at Sony. Mm-hmm. And for them to just throw $68 billion, which is, it's just literally throwing your weight around.
Yeah, that's what happened. So I'd say if Sony does anything in terms of like kind of like a buy challenge in a way, it's going to be picking up stuff like Bungie, obviously, maybe some other smaller companies. You know, I'm kind of with Nineball. I hope they get maybe Square Enix, because Square Enix has been working with them so close for so long that either they go into either an acquisition or a full body partnership in some way. Because to be honest, they've constantly worked back and back. Would it be nice to see maybe Sony get a hold of EA and reach underneath that belt that they've got the rest of those titles stuck under that they can't get to anymore because they've just grown so big? You know, they're like, what? What titles? I can't, you know, I don't see anything. It's like, you know, I mean, it'd be nice to see a lot of things, but right now it's pretty much just they've got Activision. They've talked about other acquisitions going forward. You know, I hope they don't get into like a tiff war with Microsoft on it, because that's one, like we said, that they can't win. But definitely be careful. I definitely want them to kind of like, hopefully, like go about it the right way, because with the FTC now looking into everything, you know, Danny Gates let the big brother, you know that he's, you know, doing some big stuff, and he probably. Hit that line that they're not supposed to cross, and now they're like,
now they're all proud of them for doing it, because I was kind of worried about Sony getting like stagnant, and
yeah,
for the longest time Xbox really wasn't responding to anything. It was kind of just around, and you know, Nintendo's just Nintendo. Like somebody wrote about when I was reading about it, they just said Nintendo's like playing around. It's like Nintendo's like the kid in the corner playing with his little blocks or something. Nobody really pays it no attention.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree that it's good that they're stepping up and getting some people. Like I said, I'm glad that they got Bungie, you know, because Bungie's got some good games. Destiny's going to be a big thing for them, and I'm glad that they said that they're not going to remove it from Xbox people. I feel like that's kind of also like a nudge at Microsoft themselves saying, hey, we've got this company. We're not taking away from your players. So I'm hoping it kind of helps set a tone for if you do acquisitions, not to pull those into just single only. It's like, I can understand some, but there's some that you definitely want to give out to everyone.
Yeah.
Destiny is one of those communities. You want to touch everyone.
About it is, though, Microsoft went case by case basis, which was a pretty safe wording for it. The PR department at Microsoft did good on that one.
Oh, they did. Like, we'll do case by case. I'm like, how many cases are we talking here, Mike, Daddy Gates? Like, you know, I know you've got the current cases that are out, and you're going to do, like, what did they say, the next 3 years on some of the other ones, which we'll actually be talking about here in a moment, guys. You know, so, but no, I actually applaud Sony for stepping up and getting Bungie. I'm pretty sure Bungie was probably having some stuff that was going on that they just they agreed to go into the buy-on with Sony to get them. So, it's funny because, like we said, they stated that after the split with Activision that they kind of really wouldn't go underneath anyone else. But the fact that they approached Sony meant that they were comfortable enough going to Sony saying, hey.
I don't know if they approached Sony or Sony approached them, though, because this may be a Sony approached them and they said...
Left them with a deal and then they let them think about it and then
came back. Well, you're not technically under us. We're gonna be kind of like next door neighbors in a way, kind of like that.
Kind of like a parent and child company situation, to where it's like, you know, it's like you are like, I don't know how that would work, because I'm like, they wouldn't be fully under them, like in control, but they would report to them in a way. You know, it's kind of like a parent child company type of thing, kinda where it's like,
kind of like check up on what y'all do. Oh, well, we need.
So it's like a parent
over here. We need some
it's a parent teenager. It's a parent. Actually, it's the parent college teenager type of thing. It's like they're already on their own. You're just like calling up saying, "Hey, how you doing? You getting those A's in classes?" You know,
yeah,
that type of thing. And they're there to be like financial support aid if they need it. But I mean, Bungie's pretty good, and I think they'd be able to handle a lot of stuff that comes out and be able to go through. But having that reliability of having like a I guess you could say like a larger parent company to go back to if they need to is also a safe thing that you can kind of fall back on if stuff starts to fall, like we see with Activision.
Yeah, well, I heard somebody that was talking about that, and I never really thought about that, and it's probably why Activision sold. Third-party companies are basically supported by the games. This is why they will go underneath companies like Microsoft and them, because basically you don't really, when you don't have a company and your games start to go under, you collapse really quick. There's no umbrella for you. This is why Activision Blizzard probably went underneath there, because once the game started going like WoW and Call of Duty and them, they're going to go down quick.
Oh, yeah.
This is why they focus so heavily on games that succeeded. And this is why they were talking about, like, on Activision Blizzard, they're probably going to resurrect some of them older franchises, because now you don't have to have, like, five or six companies all on Call of Duty, because that's your only moneymaker. Mm-hmm. You got Daddy Gates and you've got Microsoft now supporting you, so you can take the time and, you know, work on this, work on that, and work on other things. The same goes for Bungie now. Like I said, they're kind of like, and this is sort of a weird one, because they're under them, but they're not. They're sort of like doing their own thing, because, like I said before, I don't think Bungie would have ever had agreed if they said you had to be under us completely. I don't feel like Bungie would agree.
That's why I feel like it's a parent-child relation, like a, not parent-child, but like parent, like college teenager type company relationship, to where it's like they are still connected to Sony because Sony is acquiring them, but they're saying you're out on your own, you're doing your own thing, and we won't step in unless something is really going wrong.
But
you know, we'll let you still run yourself as yourself. You'll just send reports to us saying, hey, here's what's going on, here's what we're doing, and you know, so long as we don't see you just tanking yourselves, we'll be fine with it. You know, that's why I feel like it's kind of what might have been the deal is them they're doing is that they're giving them that freedom of saying we still are watching and we're here if you need it, kind of like a parent and that teenager that's out on their own in college and doing their own stuff, living their own life, you know.
Yeah, but with them too, it also goes both ways, because to be honest, one thing, like I said before, Sony doesn't have a lot of I can't really think of any competent shooters that Sony really has in their repertoire that you can really say.
Killzone and Resistance a while ago, but and they also
a while ago. That was
that was PlayStation 3 days. But speaking of shooters, I want to see Medal of Honor come back. Who had Medal of Honor?
That was PlayStation.
Yeah,
was EA.
No, the
yeah, 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 but okay. But it came, like certain someone games came out exclusively on PlayStation.
Someone go dig in.
Medal of Honor was actually on Xbox as well.
Yeah, it was.
Let me see when it first. Yeah. I'm not saying all the games. There's certain games that literally was just PlayStation.
The first Medal of Honor was on because me and my brother, I remember playing it because we played the World War II side, and it was like, God, we would have died.
Me and my brother.
The one I played one, and I can't remember what it was, but I played one, and it was on PS3. And it ended up like it was so like it was just one of those things where it just meant to happen that way because whatever was happening at that time, like I think it was like the War of Waterloo or something like that, it was something different, but whatever was happening on at that time ended up being in my history class like the very next week. And I was just like, oh my goodness, like, and I aced that section. The rest of the section we're not going to talk about, but that one section was so definitely awesome.
You didn't tell your teacher how you passed, did you? How did you pass? Well, I played this Call of Duty game, and I played Medal of Honor.
Medal of Honor.
It was interesting. We had a cool teacher, Miss Trigo. But yeah, no, I did wanted to go ahead and throw something out there real fast. Well, all right, so. I after listening to some various different podcasts, there's something interesting that Paris Lilly had said from Kind of Funny Games and also Spawn on Me and XCast. And it's something that I never even really thought about. So, first and foremost, for me, as an individual gamer, PlayStation acquiring Bungie does absolutely zip for me. Does nothing. Outside of Destiny, I personally don't know what other and Halo of course, but I don't know what other games that Bungie does.
Have like Marathon. They have a lot of shooters. Yeah. I watched like a history on Bungie a long time ago. They have some.
Mm-hmm. Like I've been interested in Destiny when it first was coming out, and then I tried it and it just didn't grab me. And then but Destiny 2, I know, is this whole big ordeal and it's amazing and everything like that. And I think we actually ended up getting Destiny 2 when we were in E3 because that's when Toys R Us was going out of business and we got it for insanely cheap.
No, that was Elder Scrolls Online.
I got two games.
Oh, you probably got Destiny 2 because I already had it. But I got Elder Scrolls and Morrowind
on GTL.
But then, of course, Toys R Us, they were doing some weird shit at the time.
It was just really because like, it was like $20, but $15, something like that. Like it was a steal deal. And
Halo is that's a big one.
Yeah,
that's like the magnum opus, pretty much for them.
But again, going back to it, like I, as far as like outside of that, like Destiny has my interest, but only like if I don't really have anything else to play right now. That's kind of where that's in. It hasn't really scratched that itch necessarily for me. So, again, going back to the PlayStation Bungie acquisition, it does nothing for me. As far as the community goes, I know that's a really huge deal, and people are freaking out about it. That's why I was just like, what's going to happen to our Destiny? Nothing's happening with Destiny 2. It's still going to be on multiple platforms, and it's not like they're going to take it away, just like Xbox is not going to take away Warzone from you guys. It's still going to be there. What's interesting though is that what's interesting is that the I don't think that this is going to be something that is like I do think that Bungie is officially like under PlayStation. You don't spend 7. Whatever billion dollars.
It was $3 billion.
The same thing. It's still in the billions. A lot of money.
It's 3.6 billion. So, like I said, they're probably going to be like a parent company in a way, towards like they will be reporting to Sony and be like acquired by Sony. But they're like I said, it's kind of like that college thing. It's like a college teenager going out there doing their own stuff in life and all. And the Sony is just there saying, "Hey, we're here. You know, send us updates, give us a daily call. We want to make sure you guys are okay. You know, don't go out partying too much, but you know, we trust you. You guys are doing good so far. We want you to keep doing good. So, but if you need something, we're here for you."
And that's I'm more in line with that.
A big Sony love and hug.
Yeah. I'm more in line with that because I think that what this allows them to do is that they are able to take risks and have more content freedom in the games that they do have. It doesn't have to be just Destiny or anything like that. Very similar to what you guys were saying, to where it doesn't have to be a Call of Duty machine anymore. Now they can go back to those older titles, or if they wanted to take a risk. If it ends up flopping, then, I mean, they'll have to be on the report, but it's not going to be the end of the world. It's not going to hurt the business because they're underneath.
Daddy Gates got them. It'll be fine. Like,
I'm just saying, in general, I think that, as far as Bungie goes, I think that that's kind of what this is in. However, with that being said, again, it's in the billions of dollars already, so there's going to be something that Sony's going to expect of them. But I don't think it's going to be to the caliber where we're just like, hey, you have to do everything we say now. I think that this is more of an actual good partnership. To where they can go ahead and have that creative freedom to veer off and do other projects outside of Destiny if they wanted to, Mildewy.
I mean, because like, you know, we said Bungie's main thing right now is Destiny and Halo. I think
that,
you know,
it's not Halo. That's 343.
Well, no, they have the original Halo series.
They've got those.
Yeah, I know 343's got the current Halo runs.
Right.
But Bungie had up to, if I remember right, I think Halo 3, Halo Reach, and the Master Chief Collection. So they've had those ones. In Halo Wars, they did the first one. I don't think they did the second one. But I know they had fully up to Halo 3 in the Master Chief Collection. 4 and 5, I think, were 343 Studios.
ODST was them too, right?
Yeah, ODST was them too. So they've got that package deal. Now, I know that they can't continue going on because 343 is currently working on it, but what I'm saying is they've got a very good build into shooters, which, as we stated earlier in Nineball's days, like, you know, Sony definitely needs some good shooters. Bungie is going to be able to give them that, and I think with acquiring it, they'll allow them to possibly look at a new IP that is a shooter for Sony, but because Sony's definitely saying they're not going to, like, wipe Destiny from everyone else, I feel like that it's going to be a shooter for everyone, but that they themselves have like kind of like more of a direct line to, in a way. Now, I don't believe Sony will go for day ones like Microsoft does, but I feel like this could get out more shooters that would be good, that Bungie would be able to really kind of bring forward. Because the only other companies I know of that do good with shooting right now is going to be Activision.
I honestly think that if it's something that's tied to the Destiny name, that has more potential of coming out to multi-platforms, Xbox, Switch, even whatever. But if it's a brand new IP, like Beardshot 3000, if it's something like that, I don't think that's going to be... I just said it because I saw your beard. but if it's something like that, then I think it's just going to be a PlayStation exclusive, but it will come on PC too. I don't think that's going to go anywhere else.
I feel exactly the same. You don't drop $3 billion on somebody just for funsies.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying for funsies.
I love that.
I feel like, and it's my concern of, because we're getting into the split world, like buying these companies and just, you know, just doing the releases on them, that we're doing this divide of between the two. It kind of feels back to the way of, like, you know, with Microsoft and Apple. It's like you've only got stuff that work on Apple versus only stuff that work on, you know, Windows or Linux and all. And it's this whole PC Apple thing, or this, now it's going to be this PlayStation, you know, Xbox thing. Where's Nintendo? I think I got it in my backpack, you know, as a carry-on case, you know, I get bored somewhere. I'll maybe play some Pokemon Legends or Arceus, which is doing good by now. But that's my concern, just that we're going to get into that war and it's going to become like, which one do you do? And like, that's something I don't like. I like the capability of playing with everyone, you know. That's me as a gamer. I like the cross-platform capabilities. I love the capabilities
cross-play
of
and all that,
cross-play and be able to play with everyone and get a game for everyone. Like, the fact that you're doing this, this game, well, you can only get it on Xbox. I'm like, I have to now pay two subscriptions to two different companies to try and get the games I want to play. Like, that to me is the biggest shaft to the consumers ever, I feel like.
Well, here's the thing, though.
My personal feelings.
Sorry. I don't think, and this is where the conversation will get interesting, because the way that you just talked about it is actually how I'm going to steer my thought of the conversation, and then we'll wrap it up, because then we can go on over to story number two, which is also a good one too as well. But I think that any new IPs that come out, brand new games, especially if it's a single player title, I think that's going to be a PlayStation exclusive. Anything that might have the Destiny name has a potential of coming to other platforms too as well. I also think, though, that what Paris Lily is making a lot of sense here. I don't think that this is the console wars that we're used to. I don't think it's the whole PlayStation versus Xbox necessarily, because at the before all this started coming out, even before the acquisitions, all three platforms, all three major consoles that were in console wars with each other, Nintendo, PlayStation, and Xbox, were all doing very different things. You have Xbox that's not even really pushing the console. They have it. They're like, hey, if you want to get the console, we have it. But Game Pass is our focus. And you can get Game Pass on your TV. You can have it on your fridge. You can have it on your phone. You know what I mean?
They're making it on phone.
You have Nintendo that's doing their thing. Where it's mainly
Nintendo.
But the Nintendo's been Nintendoing for Nintendo years. You know what I mean? Like, there's just that. And then you have PlayStation that has the exclusive.
Pikachu.
I've been a gamer for a good portion of my life, and this generation of gaming is now I have all of them, and it makes sense to have all of them. So at that point, the question is, who's the competition? I honestly am at this point to where I'm seeing where Paris Lily is saying. He says, I don't think PlayStation's competition anymore is Xbox, and I don't think Xbox competition is PlayStation anymore. I think Xbox competition is Amazon and Google, to the point to where they don't, like, they bought Activision not to take it away from PlayStation, but to take it away from the other companies that's trying to dip their toes in this industry and have been failing stuff that we've been doing for years. That's what they think. That's what he's saying. That is more.
Oh, you're saying they're going after Stadia.
Stadia, Luna. Yeah, what's not Stadia? Not because we already know that the state of those games of how they are those. Programs of how they've been launching, yes, but can Google or Amazon afford Activision? Truth is, yeah, they could have.
Yeah, well, you got a point there. I mean, you have to give your point on that one.
Yeah,
I forgot they existed.
And then also keep in mind, what was, like you said, Xbox saw an opportunity and purchased Activision Blizzard. What if they didn't jump on that? Who would have been more likely to pick them up at that point? Sony could have, yeah. But then if they didn't pick them up, then it would have been Amazon. Or would have been.
Because to be honest, when you think about it, Sony really doesn't have that revenue to drop like that. And if they drop $50, $60, $70 billion, they got to get that back fast.
To be fair, we don't know if it would have been exactly that much. We just know that that's how much they accepted from Xbox. That's all we really know on that. However, there are other companies that's above them that make more money. Google will
probably be the next highest bidder. Because
Amazon can do it too.
Amazon has money, but Google just has an absurd amount of money too.
They do. It'd probably be a war between the two. Now, and I can see where that aspect's coming from, because that was not one I was aware of and didn't think about, to be completely honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, definitely, I mean, the one I definitely would say would probably be more of it is probably going to be Amazon right now, just because Amazon's already got an IP out there, New World.
Yeah,
they've already got their hands in there. They would definitely be in the market for acquiring studios that have a lot of capabilities. It wouldn't be surprised if they were actually picking up people that were leaving Activision and all their companies who were part of that because of the toxic environments that were there. They were probably picking them up and saying, "Hey guys, come work for
Stadia, come work for Luna."
I got Luna. We've got some money. Like, we've got a wonderful support. We won't do that to you.
Yeah,
but, I got
Amazon love. It's like, you know, I can see them probably doing that and definitely watching it. So to where Microsoft probably, it's definitely, I think it's a two side thing. They definitely wanted to block that off, that avenue off from Amazon or Google getting that. But I still say it's like, it's also like they're getting it also to help themselves too, in a way.
You know, so it's definitely a plus.
It's definitely a plus. So it's one of those. We're probably going to be in a catch 22 situations where it's like there's goods and bads with all these things. Like, it's going to be in that thing, and that's why I'm glad the FTC is finally aware of it and looking into it, because we want to make sure that these are all done fairly. Because, like I said, if we get too much buying in there, like they are going to separate them from everything, which is, I guess, okay. Because I feel like Google more is less along the lines of phone games versus actual like console PC games, you know. Mm. Amazon's getting in there as another contender, which I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that, you know. But you know,
I'll let you go right after this nine ball. But I was about to say again, that's the shift that has happened, because now you'll probably hear rumors about it that it would be amazing, but it wouldn't be surprising if you ended up eventually seeing Game Pass on a PlayStation console. It wouldn't be surprising. Now, they could probably talk about those deals of how that would look. Like, maybe they can have access to these third-party games, but anything that's Xbox first-party would still have to be on Xbox-only side or something, because they are able to split it up that way. They are able to do it between PC, console, and phone already. So they could do something along the lines like that. So
they could. Mike, it's just a fear of mine is that we're going to get too much into of like having to, like, it's like I kind of see it right now in a way. It's like I have like how many internet subscriptions to like Hulu, Netflix, Amazon Prime, you know, to Crunchyroll, to Funimation. You know, like, there's like, if you want our stuff, which is only on our stuff, you have to pay for our subscription. I'm like, how many more subscriptions am I going to have to get?
Mm-hmm,
you know, right. How much more money am I to shell out to try and do monthly just to get the stuff and contents that I want to play? Which is why I'm like buying stuff versus trying to pay out those monthly subscriptions, because in the long run, a buy is a lot cheaper than paying a monthly. Now, granted, other people are like, well, you get more stuff. I'm like, you gotta have the stuff I want. If I only want picks and pieces of each library, I don't want to be paying $20 here, $20 there monthly, which totals up to like how much a year? Like, I think we said like the Game Pass was like $180 a year.
Yeah,
I'm like, that's just like, that just kind of hurts me as a consumer, at least someone who's like kind of like money conscious in the way of like, is it really worth it? So that's just my thing, is like, if we get too far into it, like, how much is that going to cost the consumers in terms of trying to get all the content they want? Because like you said, Malachi, you've got it all, which is awesome, but how much are you paying into all that to get everything that you want? You know,
at the end of the day, the whole, it depends on how you look at it. If you're looking at it for ownership, then yeah, this is not going to be the best deal for you. But if you're looking at it as far as accessibility, like, hey, this is coming out this day, I can go ahead and beat this in a month. I don't have to. I'm paying $15 for this month, and this is already included. I beat it. I know I'm probably never going to come back to it again. I got to live in that moment, experience it, and I didn't have to go ahead and just turn around and sell it. Because some people will buy these games that are single-player experiences. You play them, you're done with them, and then they're just sitting there. You might come back to it 20 years from now. You might come back to it 5 years from now. You may never touch it again. It might just collect dust and not work anymore. So it's just like, at that point, was the $60 really worth it? Or would you have just $15 for 2 months and then never touch it again and cancel your subscription?
And that's a good point. And it's one of those things you're going to have to look at as you as the gamer. It's going to be an individual basis, or as Microsoft likes to put it, it's a case-by-case situation. You know, to where, you know, there are gamers who are going to do that, and there are other gamers who are going to be like me who like to buy them. So you're just going to have both. Mm-hmm. And then I guess the thing is, then I guess if you're looking at it, it's like, is the ones who just like want to get the one time run and be done type of people, are they the grand majority of these gamers, which is why they're doing this, is that's the majority of it, and the rest of us are just going to have to suck it up and deal with it.
It comes down to like a red box format, to where you're like, I don't know how this is, but let me go ahead and rent this movie, and I'm going to see if I want to buy it or not. And that's kind of what it is. Like, it's literally the ultimate sampling, because Netflix has been doing that for years, and that's what Game Pass is doing, just in a video game format. So it is like, go ahead.
It's been like this for a while now. I mean, I can actually go further back to GameFly.
Yeah. Oh my god, I remember GameFly. like, and I did that when I was younger, because when I was younger, that was the best thing ever. Just, you know, get all the games I want, just trade it in, like, only for a small fee, and just keep on playing. That's awesome. As I'm older, like I said, I'm kind of, like, right now very self-conscious. Like, I have a car, like, repairs I'm going to have to do, and it's going to cost me a big arm and a leg to do this repair. Freaking alternate.
And that's actually the consumer. It's more or less the parents that's getting it for their kids, because their kids have all the time in the world now. And they're and and they're able to go ahead and do all this. And for them, it's like, hey, $15 a month versus me having to drop. If you're talking about this month alone, well, not this month, but just this first quarter alone. I already said it before. I'm probably going broke. Like, there's like 6-7 games that's coming out that I want. There's Forspoken. There's Gran Turismo 7.
Yeah, there's still five games that are coming out as well.
I paint that example because, like, imagine if all that was on Game Pass. Then within 3 months of span, and instead of me spending $300 for all 6-7 of these games, I'm going to spend $45. You know, it's just one of those kind of scenarios.
And it is, like I said, it's one of those ones where it's like, it's depending on what type of consumer they've got. Do they have the ones that are like the deal thing, to where, like, the people who play, they just play it when I'm done, and then they move on because they got that attention span thing of, like, oh, I just want to do the one-time run. Me, I like going back to my games. When I buy it, I go back and play it. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've played through a lot of my games. And, like, Horizon, I've definitely played through several times. You know, freaking Kena, when I got it, I've already done twice through, like, on hardcore modes, just because I loved it that much. You know, it's just, it really comes down to the gamer then. And that's, I guess, what I'm going to have to accept is that I may be the minority now of the gamers, like the ones who like to buy them. And I only
I'm still buying them myself.
Yeah, if I like, for example, for me personally, I bought the medium. I picked it up just recently for about $16, $17, but I picked it up, plus I picked up the soundtrack. I'm a huge fan of soundtracks. When I picked up Final Fantasy VII, I could have got it for free.
Yeah,
on
plus,
but I'm liking it, so I picked it up. I pick up the soundtrack.
That soundtrack is epic, by the way. That soundtrack is awesome.
Yeah. If they do silent, like, I was just reading last night that, to be honest, Final Fantasy 14's on their soundtrack. I might pick that one up.
Yeah,
I'm a huge fan of picking up things, but I'm a huge fan of music as well. So normally, like, I'm pretty much like you. If I like a game, I will just straight out buy it. I like Microsoft in a way, because I can try out certain games, see if I like them or not.
Right. Mm-hmm.
To take that chance. I see where you're coming from, because I've been recently going over my subscriptions and I've been canceling several of them, because you kind of can easily forget that you got stuff running in the background.
Yeah, and one of the things
I had a Kindle Unlimited account I forgot I had.
That's a drain.
And that's just that subscription fatigue.
And it's one thing I was going to kind of say beforehand, in a way, is, like, it kind of goes back to stuff I was hearing about, you know, kind of like with Apple and Google, is issues with their mobile games. And the reason I'm saying is because of all the microtransactions and stuff that they've got going on there. A lot of those mobile games, and I did try it out once when I was right out of college, because I was very curious about it. I bought one of the season pass things that got you, like, extra points and booster stuff that you could use in the games, because a lot of those games require you to, like, you know, you have to wait X amount of time, or you can spend in-game currency and speed up the time. And they're like, oh yeah, spend the money. But what they found out, and, like, it was funny, it's like, especially with a lot of these kids, especially with microtransactions, that these kids were spending a lot of money without their parents realizing it on these cards, or even just not even kids, but a lot of people were spending stuff, and they're like, wait, where'd all my money go? And they're like, they got all these transactions in these micro games, because they're like, oh, it's only $5.
Fast food does that too.
Remember, FIFA got in a lot of trouble behind that, actually.
You say fast food, Malachi, but what I'm saying is, kind of what Neville says, he forgot he had a Kindle Limited Edition one. There are, like I said, booster and bonus, like, packs that go monthly on there that will burn if you do not remember to check, if you don't check on that. And that's one thing I was like, you know, that concerns me as someone, especially the consumers, like, because you put these subscriptions on there and you just say refresh and renew all the time. If I don't play my Game Pass for, like, 3 months because I got saved
$45.
I got away, it's because I was on PC or I was on, like, your PlayStation, because they had some really good stuff that came out. That's $45 that I just spent for nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing at all. So I agree that I like people who play across all platforms. You know, I appreciate that. But if you don't use it, if you don't use it a lot, how much are you wasting per month, you know, on these subscriptions when you don't use them? So that's my biggest thing, is just getting to that subscription thing with what we're seeing, especially now with like all these, you know, Hulu's, Peacock, you know, the Paramount TV, Paramount Plus, they're like, oh yeah, we got our own subscription. I'm like, oh dear God. Like, how much more am I going to spend to try and watch stuff? Because they've got the Halo series. I'm like, I really want to watch that. But I don't want to spend money for just them to watch it. I'm like, this is like, it's driving me up a bit of a wall here. So that's just my biggest concern, is getting into those subscription things with, yes, they're going to be on PC. Yes, they're going to possibly, you know, go, like, get Sony Pass onto PC. They're going to get, you know, possibly, maybe in the future, get Game Pass onto PS, PlayStation, and maybe whatever the PlayStation's
part of PS is. I just had an image of Hellblade with God of War.
Oh, man.
So you're talking about, like, a crossover Super Smash
Bros. That would be awesome. have a video game involving both those two together.
What if that was one of the things, is that whoever God of War is trying to search this demon or god or whatever, and then it ends up being Hades from Hellblade or something. It's probably not a Hades in Hellblade.
Yeah, it's basically, on the first part, you're basically dealing with Hell herself. Yeah,
there you go.
that'd be interesting. I think
it looks like part two, you're facing off against them, because like you're facing the giant.
Yeah, the big baby looking thing.
Yeah. I just feel like we're getting that subscription thing that it's going to cost more than people are realizing. And it's like, you know, that seems like it's a good idea, but I'm like, I kind of question, is it truly depending upon who the gamer is? So
yeah. And it does come down to what you prioritize. Because again, if you're not into anime like all of us are, then you're not going to even touch Crunchyroll or Funimation. But if you're something into, again, video games, then you might consider doing Game Pass, or you might just consider doing the purchase and buy and own. It's all just about accessibility and how you want to shop and everything, and how active you are on those platforms. I do want to jump on over to, before we jump on over to the story number two, the last thing I do want to say is I think that's the lowest hanging fruit that is out there for a possible acquisition for either any of these companies, really. But I think that, especially since Sony's been a little bit more vocal, I think that the more lowest fruit on that one would actually be Konami. I would love for PlayStation to have Square Enix. But when you really think about it in retrospect, I think JRPGs, the best way for them to have success is to be on all the platforms, period. Because JRPGs is already a very niche thing already. And just keeping it on a Japanese style console will just kind of contain that. It's not going to expand it to other people that are on Switch or PC or Xbox or even mobile. So I do think that the best thing for this would be, again, a PlayStation acquire Konami, give it back to Kojima, let him go ahead and do his like little Metal Gear Solid, Silent Hill, whatever, and then open up the can of whoop-a on the other stuff, like Bloody Roar, bring that back to Cameron. You know what I mean? I would like to see that.
I mean, I would love it too, because it would resurrect Silent Hill.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really know about Konami. They're such a weird company.
Well, like, that's the thing. You buy them, don't even mess with the organization. You just have those licenses now. Give them to people that want to work on them.
I mean, the only thing they focus on, like Yu-Gi-Oh, which is probably making them a butt ton of money right now.
Right.
Pachinko machines.
Fantastic.
Yeah. They can keep the pachinko machines. Make it a different third-party company or something like that. We just want the licenses that they're sitting on and just not touching.
Pachinko Mommy!
but real quick, not to cut you off there, I do want to go on over story number two, because we still have a couple more to jump on. And this was going to be kind of a quick one, just a little update for Xbox news, because this is talking about the Activision acquisition still. But on here, Dan Bunthius from GameSpot says, Microsoft's Xbox division may be busy making certain that its proposed acquisition of Activision Blizzard proceeds smoothly, but the deal is still a few legislative barriers to overcome. One of the biggest hurdles in Microsoft's path is the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC. which holds an antitrust view, a review of the company's plan to add some of the biggest gaming intellectual properties, aka IP, to its portfolio. According to a personal, according to a person familiar with the matter and interviewed by Bloomberg, the FTC plans to analyze the takeover and see what impact it will have over on its competition. Such matters are sometimes overseen by the Justice Department, although both agencies are responsible for antitrust reviews of mergers. According to the report, the FTC will investigate Activision's gaming portfolio with Microsoft's console and hardware system to see if the takeover can harm its rivals by cutting off access to some of the biggest games that release globally. The FTC, stopping right there, it's already going to affect it. But anyway, the FTC's authority is the only for the U.S. though, and it's likely that the other international organizations with similar authority will also need to be won over for the deal to be approved. Recently, with similar authority, it Recently, the FTC has stated that it plans to more aggressively police such deals, especially when it concerns biggest technology companies in the country. And then part two of this is The Verge, and this is still in time with Activision. Jay Peters from The Verge says this in their article. Activision plans to release at least the next three Call of Duty games on both Sony and Microsoft consoles, Bloomberg reports. The new report should be a sigh of relief for fans who are worried about Microsoft immediately making a new Call of Duty game Xbox exclusive for its blockbuster acquisition of Activision goes through. According to Bloomberg, the Activision has already committed to bring, quote, the next few, end quote, Call of Duty titles to PlayStation sometime before Microsoft's acquisition was announced. Last week, Microsoft Gaming CEO Phil Spencer said that Sony told Sony that Microsoft wants to, quote, keep Call of Duty on PlayStation, end quote, and the company intends to honor existing agreements, so it seems like Activision commitment with Sony will still stay in place. The upcoming Call of Duty games coming to PlayStation will apparently include a new modern warfare game from Infinity Ward this year, the next Call of Duty game from Treyarch, and a planned new iteration of the free-to-play battle royale shooter Call of Duty Warzone. However, we're still a long ways out from Activision officially becoming a Microsoft-owned studio, meaning the fate of the Call of Duty series isn't yet set in stone. The acquisition isn't expected to close until sometime in Microsoft's 2023 fiscal year, which begins July 1st and ends June 30th, 2023. So, yeah, a little update right there for you guys. We do have it's probably going, more than likely it's going through. Shallon Keys inside the chat says, I think Sony should acquire Capcom and Konami. For one, Capcom can bring back their original IPs like Rival School and Power Stone. Oh, good God. Thanks, someone knows about Power Stone. You're my dude.
What are you talking about? I play that all the time with my friends. Four-player Power Stone.
I know you know about it. But majority of the people I speak to when I'm like, yo, Power Stone was that stuff. They're like, Power what? I'm like, Power Rangers? No, Power Stone. That was my stuff.
Rival Schools United by Fate.
And he talked about Bloody Roar. He says Power Stone and then Konami can bring back Bloody Roar, but have a Hooray, creator of Tekken, oversee it. Ooh. So first and foremost, Bloody Roar, speaking my language, talk to me all day. Bloody Roar and Tekken are very similar already. They're very, very, very similar. But I don't know if I necessarily would want to have Tekken creators taking it over, since it sounded like that they wanted to end it. Because I don't think they would put enough love into it, in my opinion. But if they do want to do it, by all means, Bloody Roar is one of the best fighting games I've come across in a long time. But yeah, so that's just a little update. Anyone that is worried about Call of Duty being exclusive to Xbox right now, that's the only title that they have mentioned by name. And so with that being said, you had at least three titles before it becomes an Xbox exclusive.
Well, that's the only one I can really argue for. I mean, when you look at the long run, StarCraft's never been on PlayStation. WoW's never been on PlayStation.
Right.
And so you could be like, okay, how's this affecting PlayStation?
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. And honestly, if WoW ends up becoming on Game Pass and I don't have to pay monthly for it because it's already included in Game Pass, I will jump back on WoW. I'm going to get through Final Fantasy 14 first. But I will jump back on WoW. So, yeah. But, yeah, just a little quick one there. Another quick one, which I am super stoked for. Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2. Wesley LeBlanc from Game Informer. Let's talk about it, gentlemen. Let's talk about it. 2022 is a special year for Square Enix Final Fantasy franchise. Not only is it the series' 35th anniversary, let that sink in. But it's also the 25th anniversary of Final Fantasy VII. Take a moment to breathe if you need it. That's one hit us like a gut punch too. To celebrate the 25th anniversary of what is considered to be the most popular Final Fantasy in the entire series, Final Fantasy VII director Yoshihiro Kitase and the Final Fantasy VII remake director Tetsuya Nomura shared some words about what the series means to them. They also teased some exciting development in the universe of Final Fantasy VII related games. Quote, "With all of these exciting projects, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Final Fantasy VII The First Soldier, Final Fantasy VII Ever Crisis, I get a real sense of how much more and more people are supporting Final Fantasy VII Nomura writes in a new message released by Square Enix on Twitter. Quote, "Not just the fans from the original game, but also those who never experienced it are being drawn to a unique world of Final Fantasy VII. And there will be even more Final Fantasy VII projects that started up after the remake coming in the future too," end quote. As for what those future projects could be, one seems to be quite obvious, Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2, parentheses, or whatever the dub sequel, like what they'll name it. Considering Nomura said these new projects started up after the remake, a sequel to said remake makes sense. However, Nomura says projects plural, meaning that even if a Final Fantasy VII remake sequel is one upcoming game, there's still likely other Final Fantasy VII related projects in the works. The director doesn't specifically mention games though, so perhaps he's referring to a special Final Fantasy VII orchestra or something like that. I will say this, and this wasn't in this article, and I'm upset that I couldn't find it. But there was another article that was saying Nomura was stating that this year we are going to get an announcement of Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2. I don't know if that's going to be at a Square Enix event. I don't know if that's going to be. That is E3 caliber. That is Summer Game Fest caliber. I would love to see it sooner than later. I don't know if we're going to get Final Fantasy VII Remake before Final Fantasy 16. I think that will hurt 16 too much. Shaolin Keese inside the chat says, "Well, Harada loves fighting games, so I think he would treat it with care. But I think that Sony acquisition of Bungie was just a move because Microsoft back Activision was mainly so." So that was actually another thing I didn't mention before. I think if anything, because these acquisitions, they don't happen overnight. It's not like all of a sudden Microsoft got Activision, then Sony was like, "Oh, they're doing that? Let's go ahead and Bungie. Oh, Bungie, you want to be bought?" I don't think it's anything like that. These things take years. They take time. If anything, the earliest I think that it could have been would have been if them acquiring Bethesda, and now we're getting roots of that. That's the only thing I can think of. The only way I can think of this being reactive to Activision is literally if it came out inside some sort of leaked report between Microsoft and Sony before we even knew about it, and they're like, "Oh, we have to do something quick because in 2022 this is going to come out. So this is 2021 now, maybe early 2021. We have to get on this now." That's the only way I can see that being possible, because again, these things take time. Like even right now, we're talking about it now. Xbox had mentioned that at the beginning of this year, that deal's not going to close until mid of 2023. So that's just kind of an example of why this thing takes time. So I don't think that this is in reaction to that. However, it would make sense if it is reaction to what Bethesda being acquired back in 2020, end of 2020, going inside 2021. That would make a lot more sense.
These are true comments. You know, I feel like it's just we got a chain reaction going on.
Oh, sir, it's 100%. This is reactive of something. I think that Activision, that acquisition of Activision, it's way too early for this to be reactive to that. Well, unless Sony can see the future. Got wind of it earlier. Yeah, yeah.
We don't know about. We as the gamers probably never found out about it because it was probably talks behind doors that were going on and we couldn't know about it until now. So, I mean, there's a lot that's there that you could read through, possibly. But I'm just going to say it's definitely reactive of something. We can't put a finger on what.
Yeah.
But they are getting into this now because of it. We got the FTC looking into it, and then there's just a lot of stuff going on here. So
yeah. And right now, I noticed that Nineball is supporting Konami right now because he's playing Yu-Gi-Oh! on stream right
here. I saw him doing that. I'm like,
you saw a little pop-up?
Yeah, it's just I haven't minimized. I was working on it earlier before we started.
It's all good. It's all multitasking. You know what I mean? It's all part of the stream. Before we get inside the next store, I do wanted to go over with you guys the Fantasy Gaming League. Because as you guys know, we're inside a Fantasy Gaming League. There's six of us that's currently in there. Set up very similar to Fantasy Football. But instead of it being on a weekly basis, it's on an annual basis, and you're not against one person at a time each week or against the whole group at the same time throughout the year. How it works is it's a 100-point scale that they weight you on. It's on a Metacritic. Anything that's above 70 points is a threshold. Anything above 70 points gains you points. Anything that scores below 70 points loses you points. For example, if I have Cyberpunk because that's like the first game that comes to mind for some reason. If I say Cyberpunk 2077 comes out and it does terrible, it does like a 60, then that is 10 points below 70, so I lose 10 points. But if I have something like Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2 and it comes out and it does amazing, it does 90. Then that mean on the Metacritic, that is. Then I gain 20 points because that's 20 points above that. There's also something in there called counterpicks, to where you can try to screw up your teammate, or not teammates, but your rivals in this. If it drops and it does poorly, they lose the points, but you gain the points if it's your counterpick. If it does great, they gain the points, but you lose the points. Or if it does not come out, then they can't drop the games like you can do players inside Fantasy Football. They won't be able to drop that particular game. They can drop other games, but not the ones that you have counterpicked because you just screwed them over for the year. So there you go.
Yeah, take that.
Yeah. So on here, we have Ohio representing MOGA, which is Make Ohio Great Again. We have Silent, Renzo Kukin. We have ALWT Gaming. We have Illis B Live, Illuminatus Living. We have It's the Nine Ball, Zaka Corp. We have Mildewy Carrot Patch, All Caps, Inc. This is what our list is looking like. MOGA has the games. Pokemon Legends Arceus came out recently. It's the only game that came out. And it got a 15 on Metacritic. So, or 85 on Metacritic. So he got 15 Jeez. Points. Ohio. Out the gate started from the bottom. Now we're here. You know what I mean?
Starting up better than last year there, Ohio.
100%. But yeah, it's not no Biomutant, nothing like that. It's not no Dark Alliance. Yeah, you know, you got Pokemon Legends Arceus. Both, you know what? This game alone doubled the points that you earned from those two games.
Don't tell him that.
Good
Don't
stuff.
Don't tell him that. Let him.
He's still bad about now.
He has Sifu pending to come out. And all the rest of the games, I'm just going to say pending to come out. Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga. Marvel's Midnight Suns. Elden Ring. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. He has two open spots. He has 4 days and 48 minutes and 16 seconds to pick to try to put a bid on the game. And he has a counter pick of Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. Renzo Kukin has God of War Ragnarok, Triangle Strategy, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, Chocobo GP, Kirby the Forgotten Land, Final Fantasy 16, Metroid Prime 4. He has an open spot, and he has Diablo Immortal as his counterpick. Oh, I just realized this. No one counterpicked my games. Yeah, I feel loved. ALWT Gaming, a.k.a. me. I have Horizon Forbidden West, The Plague Tale Requiem, Starfield, Ghostwire Tokyo, Gotham Knights, Redfall, Babylon's Fall, The King of Fighters 15, and I have a counterpick of Bayonetta 3. Illuminatus Living has Dying Light 2, Stay Human, coming out this week. Bayonetta 3, Strangers of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin, Mario plus Rabbids, Sparks of Hope, Diablo Immortal, Shovel Knight Dig, two open spots he has, and he has a counterpick of Saints Row. And that's the remake. Yeah. Zaka Corp has The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2, Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl, Saints Row, Total War, Warhammer 3, Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2. He has two open spots. He has Marvel's Midnight Suns as a counterpick. And that one, just before I go over to Mildew and Carrots, you choose that one because you don't think it's coming out this year, right? Or do you think it's not going to be good?
I think it's going to be both of them, actually. Even if it comes out, I don't think it's going to do as well. It's one of those games. And it's one of those games, when you put, like, what did they put, later half?
Yeah, was a little
last half of 2022, and let alone Marvel games, have most of them are not really that good. Gotcha. They're mostly hit or miss. Outside of like recent memory, maybe Spider-Man and Miles Morales,
mm-hmm.
most of them really don't have like decent records.
Okay. I was just kind of curious because I saw that and I was like, well, that one was one that interested me, but I didn't see enough gameplay of it.
Yeah.
It didn't show any gameplay. But,
it feels like that, what's that Marvel one that's already out? The one that they are trying to save and they kind of did
with. Oh, you're talking about Avengers.
Yeah.
That was a rough run for that one.
Yeah. Actually, I think Shaolin Keys actually has Avengers, so he can.
I have it.
You have Avengers? Have you started it yet?
No.
TBFSS has it. He says he likes it, but he's kind of just like, it wasn't like a, oh my God, it's like, it's okay.
No, I bought it on sale.
I tried it when it was on PlayStation Now for a bit, and yeah. And then Carrot Patch Inc., our former victor, leading us to battle with his trident in his right hand and his crown in his left. He has Gran Turismo 7, Forspoken, Tunic, Splatoon 3, Stray, Salt and Sacrifice, Advanced Wars 1 plus 2 Reboot Camp. He has an open spot, and he has Chocobo GP as his counterpick. I saw that he said something here. He said it's good picks, Cam. SSK JL might be a miss, and yeah, Avengers is so buggy and has so many problems. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad I bought it on sale.
Yeah, I didn't buy it, but I mean, I do want to play it with friends, but that was actually one of the things I heard is kind of holding it back is the multiplayer.
Yeah.
So
that's something I've been hearing too. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's our current list right now, and we'll be checking this out literally every single week through the year of 2022. I know that sounds tedious and could be even a little bit annoying, but there's some competition in there, and it's a little fun. So there you have it.
If anything, we might just do some updates about which games come out, who's in the lead and all, but we're not going to constantly read it unless someone adds something.
Yeah.
But it's always fun to get that update like about what's going on, you know.
But I'm going to always talk about it. Story number four we have here, and we have a representative on here. It's Mildewy Carrot maybe reacting to this tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. PlayStation State of Play. Wesley LeBlanc from Game Informer says this in their article. PlayStation has announced that it will be airing a State of Play this week about Gran Turismo 7. The first State of Play of 2022, this one promises more than 30 minutes of new PlayStation 5 footage of the upcoming Polyphony digital simulation racing game. It also features new details of GT7, which is slated to arrive on PS5 and PS4 on March 4th. The first 2022 State of Play arrives later this week, and we revved up just for over 30 minutes of new PS5 footage and gameplay for details on GT7. And that's on the PlayStation blog post. Watch live February 2nd on Twitch or YouTube starting at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11 p.m. Central Time, and that's all the PlayStation had to say about the State of Play. Usually PlayStation would mention that viewers shouldn't expect this or that, but because this it's being dubbed as a GT7 state of play, there's probably no reason for the company to give extra caution in that regard. Basically, we don't recommend going into this expecting a PlayStation surprise reveal, a game, or talk about Horizon Forbidden West in the showcase's final few minutes. The state of play will be the first in-depth look at GT7 in a while. It's been a sure bet that we'll see a trailer of recent PlayStation first-party showcases, but beyond that, not so much about GT7 is known. End quote in the story. So yeah, so we'll keep you guys posted if we're gonna actually react to that. I know I'm gonna be watching on the back end. Right now we have Mildewy Carrot that may be on solo, but does anyone does anyone care about racing games?
I'm not a big fan of them. Like, I mean, if it's something that people are playing, if I'm playing with friends and all, I'll play with people.
I have to pause real fast because Shaolin Keys says I messed up and got the most expensive version talking about Avengers.
I mean, you were probably so stoked about it, Shaolin Keys, that you just like dubbed like, yes,
this is rightfully so.
Kind of like I did with Cyberpunk. Like, I still love Cyberpunk. It's a good game, but it's like, it was so buggy at the start. You're just like,
yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I got my money back, and then I ended up picking it back up for $5. Sorry. Just had to,
yeah. Had to be the money one saver, guy to rub it in your face.
Yeah. Money saver, my foot. You're going to toss away for everything, and you're like, oh, $5? So. I mean, to be honest, though, yeah, you got Anthem for full price, and I got it for like $5. So
you know. No, we both got it for $5. I'm the one that got yours for $5. I'm the one that got it. I got five different copies. It was from GameStop for literally $5.
Oh, it was one of my other friends who actually did it. He bought it full price, and then he's like, oh, it's like you got it for $5. I'm like, yeah. He goes,
yeah, that's your Monster Hunter friend, right?
Yeah. So he's just like, yeah. I was like, I'm sorry, bro. It's like, you guys, like, I thought it was gonna be good. I'm like, everyone did.
Everyone. And I still want to get through it. One of these sin segments, we'll have to see. Speaking of that, sin segment's gonna be just It's the Nine Ball and Mildewy Carrot this Thursday. So be on the lookout for them.
Weather pending, guys. We've got a winter storm coming. Weather pending. And the reason I'm saying this because I just got an update on it. Apparently, they're expecting some heavy ice on a lot of centuries, so there's a possibility of some power outages.
It better be some warm ice. I'm not missing my flight.
If you it's travel seconds. That's why
I'm telling
you. Yeah, you need to check on that because it's not going to be like a full like day after tomorrow situation where it's like you got a shit ton of snow. No, the problem is it's rain into freezing temps with ice, so it's gonna just insta freeze. It's just gonna build up. So
you're just trying to ruin my vacation.
This is literally just announced. I just was checking on it. And like, there's a risk of power outages in areas. So it's like I'd say anyone in the path of it, be careful, be safe, and stay safe too. So and just get ready for anything.
Yeah, I have my Switch with you. I have my Switch with me, so we can duel while I'm on.
What's the saying? What's the saying? You know, plan for the worst, hope for the best.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll keep you guys posted on that. But yeah, you were talking about racing games. You said that you're not really into it. Nine Ball, what, or you're not keen on it. Yeah, I was about to say Nine Ball. What were you at with it?
I play them every once in a while. Like I'll play mostly. I think the only one I played the most was probably Burnout Paradise.
Fair.
Outside of that, I'm not a huge racing fan.
Back to you, Mildew. I know you had more to say on yours.
Yeah, like mainly I played Mario Kart, but that's mainly with family and friends. Like if it's got multiplayer capabilities and like I'm able to play with other people, it's kind of fun because then you can just get into some shit and shenanigans with them, like trying to run people off the road, you know. So if I ever played a racing game with you, Malachi, I'm definitely gonna try and tail swipe you and just get you to spin out.
I was celebrating until you said you're gonna tail swipe me, you jerk.
It's only with love. I do it with love. I'm gonna push it to the finish line. But it's like it's one of those things where it's like I don't feel the urge to play it solo. Like if it's something that's given to me for free and we can play multiplayer for free, sure, I'll probably get on with some people and just have some good times laughing it up. But it's not, racing games are not games that I like, oh, I'm gonna get in there, I'm gonna drive, I'm gonna burn some rubber. I'm like, no. If I want to go for a drive, I'll hop in my car and I'll go enjoy the countryside, what's left of it, before industrialism and modernization stuff kick in and residential neighborhoods start building through it and tearing through all of our stuff and we have to import food from other countries, ruining our economy once more. Anyway, sorry. Rant's over.
I'm a little, like, I'm not hardcore in the racing games, But I do enjoy a good racing game every so often. And on top of that, like, I do eventually pick maybe one up every couple years. Forza Horizon 5 was on Game Pass, so I got to play that, enjoyed that. GT7 is one that I really want to see what the PlayStation 5 does with its DualSense capabilities. One of the reasons why I ended up picking up the latest Madden is because I did want to go ahead and... I was actually done with Madden maybe about Madden or two ago. But this last one, it was just right at the cusp of PlayStation. it was just right at the cusp of PlayStation 5's release. So I was just like, you know what? Let me go ahead and pick this up. Let me see what this is about. Still fun. It's just sometimes it just pisses me off. Let's be real. And that is right now it's not on my PS5 because it ticked me off last time. But with the Bengals going to the Super Bowl, we might have to talk. It might have to be a little different. But yeah, so with that being said, I do have plans of getting GT7 at launch, but we'll see because that's a full month away, and there's other games that's coming out like Horizon Forbidden West, like Elden Ring, like Sifu, which I am 1,000% pick up Sifu, and with a name like Shaolin Keys, I know you're thinking about picking up Sifu there, Keezy Q. But yes, going on over to story number 5, which is a couple fun ones, just a little updates that they're for you guys, for anyone that's curious about it. The first thing is a PlayStation Plus update. Today is PlayStation Plus brand new cycle. So on here, Eddie Mackick from GameSpot has says this. The latest batch of free games of PlayStation Plus subscribers are now available to claim now. The lineup includes EA Sports UFC 4, which I had on Game Pass, and I still have it, and I just went and got it on my PS5. Planet Coaster Console Edition, probably will never touch it, but I have it in my library, and Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon Keep, a Wonderland's one-shot adventure. All three games are available to add to your library for the entire month of February. EA Sports UFC 4 is the latest entry of EA's MMA series, originally released in 2020. Planet Coaster Console Edition is a park-building game that lets you create a fantasy park of your dreams, and Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon's Keep, a Wonderland's one-shot adventure, meanwhile, is a standalone campaign for Borderlands 2 featuring fantasy battles and co-op. It comes to PlayStation Plus just ahead of Tiny Tina's Wonderlands in March 2022. There you go.
I have Xboxes actually too.
For UFC?
For Xbox fans. Xbox
games. Oh yeah. Give it to us, Nineball.
So yeah, I get Broken Sword 5, which I've never even heard of.
Me neither.
That comes out February. All that month of February you can get that one.
Mm-hmm.
Next one, available February 16th through March 15th is Aerial Knights Never Yield.
Okay.
February 1st through the 15th is Hydrophobia, which that's going back. I haven't played that in a while. And February 16th through the 28th is Band of Bugs.
I'm not touching any of those games. I'm just.
I don't know about the Van Bugs, but that one's I'm not familiar with.
Title alone for all of them does not sound appealing to me. I could be wrong. Maybe look at the picture or gameplay. It might be a little different, but I haven't even heard of any of them, nor do I care in my current state about any of them.
I've heard of. I know Hydrophobia. I actually got it.
Uh huh.
I ain't going to tell you how much I picked it up for. It's like 50 cents. Well, I'm going to tell you 50 cents or something like that a long time ago.
So anyone that's out there, if you guys are listening on Spotify, Instagram, Facebook, anything like that, if you guys are interested in any of those games, PlayStation or Xbox side, there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
I did want to throw out there, it says, haha, I might be getting that one. Hey, I'm telling you, man, it looks amazing, looks fantastic.
Which one?
Sifu.
Down to pick up Band of Bugs.
Band of Bugs. Yeah, but yeah, no. If you end up, if we ever end up linking up, I'll own it when it comes out. I'll own it. I'll have it for a fact, so we can try it. Pass the remote. And then the last little fun tip right here, from Wesley LeBlanc. We had a lot from Wesley LeBlanc from Game Informer today. A little update for anyone that is wondering about the survival of Hyperscape. It has now been no-scoped. Let's just be real. Ubisoft is shutting down Hyperscape down this year, less than 2 years after its release. First revealed in the summer of 2020, and released shortly after its reveal as a free-to-play battle royale. Hyperscape put players in a futuristic city to fight against 100 players in a squads of three. To differentiate itself from just another battle royale, Hyperscape attempted to do things a little differently. It kept loadouts small, traversal extremely fast-paced, and even gave viewers on streaming platforms the ability to vote on in-game events that changed the ongoing matches.
Did somebody vote to cancel it?
I don't know. That probably was the ultimate level right there. Bill Dewey.
No, I just said I voted to cancel
it. Oh, you voted to cancel it? Yeah, no.
Another battle arena. Right? I'm like, no offense to them. Like, the concept was interesting and all, but it's like, I feel like that genre has just become a bit too saturated. And you've got the ones like, you've got Fortnite, you've got Warzone, you've got those that are in the top runnings. I know like Spellbreak came out, but it's like, I haven't heard of that ever after that. It's like, it feels like it's almost on the same path as Hyperspace, it feels like, just because, you know, I feel like a lot of the attention's on the ones that have just been cemented into that area. You know, those that got the Battle Royale style down, they're just down. And after that, it's like, I don't hear much about anything else besides Fortnite and Warzone. Like, I don't hear promote for Spellbreak. I don't hear it for, like, what's the one that was on PlayStation that just came out with the
Hunter's Arena?
Hunter's Arena, you know, or Rocket Blade Point. Like, I don't hear much about those anymore. Like, I just feel like it's a genre that's, like, it's probably going to start falling off here. You know, kind of like what Son said beforehand with the zombie thing, but I think zombies come back because of recent event situations in their life. But,
You still have your strongholds such as Apex Legends and Warzone and Fortnite.
The other one.
You still have your strongholds. Apex just actually recently came out with a new little mode that's coming out here soon. But and PlayStation even promoted it on their thing. But I think that honestly, I don't think Hyperscape was different enough. I do think that Hunter's Arena is definitely different, but it's really close to Naraka Blade Point. But Hunter's Arena actually does have its updates. It has like the little Power Rangers suits, which you can get, which I actually still want. But with that being said, it's only kind of catering to a smaller like group. Spellbreak was not promoted really at all. It was that one's really like under the radar, but it's surviving because I do think that it is different enough. It's like the Harry Potter of battle royales right now. I think Hyperscape came out and it was supposed to be this huge thing. Was it Fall Guys that came out around that time? Because I think that's what killed this momentum, to be completely honest with you, was Fall Guys. There was a game that came out around the same time.
Fall Guys is totally different. I mean,
it is, but that's the thing. Like, it's still considered a battle royale, and it did come.
It's not really a battle royale, period. It is
a battle royale.
Well, I mean, I can.
Fall Guys is not a battle royale.
It is literally considered as a battle royale.
Yeah, I can understand that.
It can't be considered a battle. It's not a battle royale.
You're fighting against other people to get to the point. Like, you're trying to traverse the puzzles, and there's also times where you can kind of push people and knock them out of the way. So it has that capability. It's like a game of like trying to get to the end and like trying to survive the end. You can push people. Like, I don't know if you could consider a true battle royale, but it does have that element. I can agree with
that
it does have that element of battle royale in terms of like you're trying to be the last guy standing in that
game. Yeah, it's a different element of battle royale. It's not like how we were introduced to Fortnite. Like, because honestly, before Fortnite, whenever I heard battle royale, I always thought of wrestling. And when I think of wrestling, I don't think about any teams. I always think of the last person in the room standing, which is truly what the Fall Guys is. There is no teams at the end. You can party up.
You can have teams.
You guys can all make it to the very end and survive? You don't have to fight each other?
Yeah, you could have four people on a team.
Well, I know that. I know you can be on a team, but I think even with that, when you get to the end, if all four of you happen to make it, I think you still have to fight each other.
I don't know. I never really made it to the end with my team.
Because I know that at the end, if you're...
I would have to ask my niece. She plays that a lot more than I do.
Understandably. But yeah, I was about to say, because I know like games like Fortnite and Warzone and stuff like that, if you're grouped up, you get to the end, you made it to the end, and you guys are all winners. I don't think that same concept. I think that Fall Guys is literally truly a battle royale versus having the battle royale name. But fast forwarding back to what I was saying before, like, no one really saw Fall Guys coming out the way that it did. Like, it had a major blow. Fall Guys and Among Us were games that were, like, smaller type titles and just blew up in a major way. Like, Fall Guys first came out on Plus.
Among Us, really, it's been on a social deduction, I think, games for Among Us. But Among Us have been out for years.
It
just blew up after that senator played it. I remember that.
That was also, I think, I know one of the things that gave it a good chance, which they talked about this at the Game Awards, was the pandemic coming when it did. Like, literally everyone being trapped in their homes or whatever the case is. You're just trying to still socialize with your friends online. That was a fun little game to get 16 people in and just betray each other. Like, whatever it was to
it's a good way to figure out who your true friends are. Yeah. It's like playing Ultimate Werewolf, but you're not in person to where you have the risk of punching them for betraying you like that.
Oh, yeah. if you can play that with friends, it's worth a playthrough. I played it with my niece and them. Oh, we had a ton of fun on that.
Oh, yeah, no, Among Us is definitely one game that you could definitely have a lot of fun in. I've actually seen people play it with, like, just other people, and they have fun, but, you know, it's just, it's one of those games you have to want to play and do, so.
Yeah.
But, you know, those are good ones. Fall Guy, Among Us, they definitely were in the right areas during this pandemic and all, because they got that online capability already built in. So they've got that set up towards, like, you can play with everyone and get, Among Us, definitely, because you get large groups of people.
Right.
So get grandma in there and, you know, stab her in the back.
Ladies and gents, that is our All Things Gaming Season 2, Episode 5 of 2022.
What's it for Spotify?
For us, it's still the same thing. Don't try to trip me up. Don't try to do it. Yeah, Anchor, Spotify, same thing. Everything's Episode 5. Everything's Episode 5.
Are you sure about that?
I'm very sure. You stop it. I just want to give you guys a little reminder out there. If you guys do like yourself some Raise energy drinks, you guys can get yourself energy drinks at www.repsports.com. That is REPPsports.com. If you type in ALWT Gaming at checkout, you get 50% off. And it's not just your Raise energy drinks. You guys can get workout powders, water supplements, all that good stuff. Just type in ALWT Gaming, which stands for At Least We Try Gaming. If you guys are following us right now on social media platforms, we appreciate you guys. We love you guys. And then, of course, you guys can, if you guys want to search us out there for, like, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, anything like that, just type in ALWD Gaming. Can't find us that way. Just type in At Least We Tried Gaming, because At Least We Tried. I almost said It's the Nine Ball. I'm not. I'm Malachi 36. This is It's the Nine Ball, and this is Mildewy Garrett. We're having a good time here. Make sure you guys are checking their stream this coming Thursday, weather pending, for the SIN Strength in Numbers segment as they go through Remnant from the Ashes, try to get to the end of that, and then we go on to the next game. Our 9-5 segment will be announced later on this month. We will see what we're going to... Well, actually, we already know what we're going to be playing is that Digimon game. That Digimon game on PC. So we're going to end up playing that. We'll keep you guys posted as what that's going to be. It's free on Steam, so give it a go. Of course, make sure you guys are tuning in for our All Things Gaming next Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We do this every Tuesday. We have a good time. We talk nerdy with you guys. Give you guys video gaming news and our thoughts as the news as they break. Until next time, everybody. I gotta go because something smells really good upstairs. My wife home and she's cooking something. So control, alt,
complete.
Peace, love, and hair grease. Yes, it's happening. And happy Black History Month, everybody.
Definitely. All right.